God bless everybody. This is Joe, and I'd like to do a couple of finger on the pulses, and the title of these will be called, or they're called, Judged Worthy. This is a huge subject in God's Word, and it's a subject that we all have many, many thoughts from God's Word, understanding from different scripture, and a way of having practically applied what we know and believe from it in our lives. And this whole subject about how God has judged us worthy is huge. There are whole religions built on believing that one is not worthy, and teaching that way, and people's lifestyles echo that. And it's just not the way God's Word is, not God's rightly divided Word to us in the seven church epistles. And I thought we could spend some time getting into the Word about this, and I'd like to do an overview of this. But I wanted to start out first and share three verses with you in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 to set the stage, to set an overview in this teaching about being judged worthy. Because it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to be so totally absorbed by the truth of it that these three verses absolutely come alive. And they're in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3, 4, and 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul said, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or be judged of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self." Verse 4, "For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is God. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until Jesus Christ comes." And God is coming with Jesus Christ, and the angels are coming, and this is the gathering together. And then it says, "Who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God." The whole concept about God's judgment is that he has made us worthy in Christ Jesus, and that we should have his praise. And we do have his praise, and we will have his praise. He is so thankful for us as his sons and daughters. But how do we make that come alive? How do we make that live practically in our lives? How do we go from where Paul said, "For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified"? Just understanding that what we know had to come from an outside source, and we didn't invent it, we didn't create our own thoughts. The things came from an outside source, and giving God the credit for the things of his word, just knowing that doesn't hereby justify us, just as if I'd never sinned. That in itself doesn't help us to walk that cleansed conscience walk, to walk that walk that is of the renewed mind. And there's so much more to it than that. And the more to it than that is in the subject of believing in our worthiness before God, and not judging our own self. And not only that, but esteeming it a very small thing whenever we get judged of others, especially others close to us, who would be the most apt to be able to do that because they can see our lives. And yet, even bigger than that, man's judgment. Today is man's day. Man does the judging. Sure, we've been judged worthy in Christ Jesus, and at the Bema, we're going to see that with the rewards that God's given us. But today, man does the judging in this world. And then Paul said, "For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord." God does the judging. And getting an understanding of that will help us move into the direction of being judge worthy. And I wanted to show you how big this subject is before we move on. I'm going to read some bullet points. There's actually 2 pages of these bullet points, and these bullet points are things that deal with judging and deal with worthiness. And so just kind of put your pencil down for a minute or put your Bible down for a minute and just listen to this. I'm just going to read them. God judges. Jesus Christ judges. The Word judges. Saints will judge the world. Saints will judge angels. Judged worthy. Judged by the law of liberty. Dead will be judged. Judged blameless. Judged righteousness. Don't judge others. You who judge do the same things. All have come short. All were dead. God is the righteous judge. Judged in righteousness. Given divine nature. Given incorruptible seed. Judged standing at the door. God has a payment mechanism. Crowns awarded at that day. Given an inheritance. Lose not your reward. And I put these in here because at the Bema, that's when this judgment seat is going to be visible to us, the judgment seat of God. Righteousness gives us the right to dot, dot, dot. Christians all will have the same judgment. 12 thrones judging Israel. God has given judgment to the Son. I came not to judge the world. Accountability at the Bema. Escape judgment. Judge not my own self. Judgment without partiality. Man's self-judgment brings condemnation, sickness, and death. Man's self-judgment invalidates God having judged us worthy in Christ Jesus. Judgment with the manifestation of prophecy. Christians will all have the same judgment. 12 thrones judging Israel. Judgment seat of God and judgment seat of Christ. These are but a sampling of what you'll see when you go into the Word to start studying about judging and judgment. It's a hodgepodge. And if we don't get the administrations correct, if we don't understand to whom it's written, if we don't understand the words at the time of their biblical usage, if we don't understand figures of speech, if we don't understand these things, then we'll just be in the soup for a lifetime. And all of these concepts will be swimming around with no particular place to go, no real shelf to sit on of certainty. And that's what I'd like to do together as we study God's Word in this whole subject of judge worthy. And so the overview, it's impossible to explain and teach every one of these aspects in one teaching, or even in a few. But covering the succinct points of them, which will help us understand how that we're judge worthy, is possible. And I dare say that many of these subjects in God's Word, they take a lifetime of study. And so we just keep working the Word. And God keeps giving the increase and giving us an understanding. So the goal would be that it would be a very small thing whenever we get judged of one another, or of man's judgment, or of our own self. Even as we are aware that all of the learning and the things that we have learned come from outside sources, and that God is the author of that which He's authored, and He has told us in His Word that we are worthy before Him. Even understanding that will not get us to the point to believe that we're justified, but it will help us move in that direction to understand it by understanding more about how that we have been judged worthy. That will help link our justification together, and understanding that God is the judge, and that what He says goes. And one bullet point that I wanted to share right now is the first one, and that is that God judges. Yeah, because being judged by one another, being under man's day of judging others, and judging not my own self are very small things in the big picture of God's word. And if God's already done the judging, and he is the one that is responsible and that everything matters to, then would not he be the one that we would allow to do any type of judging in our belief of how he has set it up? Well, of course it would be. In Hebrews chapter 12, I'd like to read verses 22 to 25. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. See, we are justified. We're just as if we'd never sinned through what Jesus Christ accomplished and through our receiving the gift of Holy Spirit. God is the judge of all, and he has judged us worthy of being justified and cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. And he has made us perfect in Christ Jesus. And not only that, but at the gathering, we're going to receive the rest of the new body stuff that we need and actually get that new body. You want to talk about perfect. It reminds me of how when God made Lucifer, when he made the angels, they were perfect. And iniquity was found in Lucifer, now the devil, but it was perfect. And that which God does is perfect. And it's up to us to keep that perfection. As we walk in according to God's word now, then we are perfected in Christ Jesus. But when that great day happens, when we get the rest of our new body, the quickening spirit, when it all comes together, it's going to be perfect. It's going to be amazing. God's creation. And we are part of God's creation. Isn't that beautiful? Sure. And God is the judge of all. Well, Hebrews chapter 13, it continues in verse 1 through 9. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and a bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation, your manner of life, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And it goes on a little bit, but it says that God will judge. And we're talking about Christians here. We're talking about Christians that are living a non-Christ-like lifestyle. And at the Bema, when that type of judging happens, we've already been judged worthy in Christ Jesus. It's not about that. It's about the rewards and the wood, hay, stubble that the word talks about that's going to get burned up. The works and the actions and the lifestyles that God has already judged, that those things will get burned up. They're not going to be rewarded, and they're not making it into heaven, and they won't be on the new earth. It's just going to be cleansed. But the individual gets in because of the gift of Holy Spirit and by God's grace. And that is as best I can understand what this is referring to, because it's talking about your manner of life and the brotherly love continue and entertaining and taking care of God's people and doing that we don't want to step across lines that don't need to be stepped across. We don't want to bring in past lifestyles that if a person was living according to, that it's over with, they're not doing that kind of thing anymore, they're not living that way. But if they choose to start living that way again, they don't lose their gift of Holy Spirit, but they lose a whole lot of other things. And that's why I was talking about rewards and crowns and inheritance. It's a huge part of the judgments of God. He's already laid them out. He's already laid great things out. And so our worthiness before God has been established in God's word. And our worthiness before our own self is a whole nother question. And that's the scope of this teaching, what I'd like to share about more about how that we can not judge our own self And you can see real quickly that it's starting to be based on lifestyle in the way that one lives. And the Christ-like lifestyle that's available to live is laid out in God's Word. So it's going to be practically merged into the teaching of any subject that deals with God's judgment and a way to live. And it should be established with grace. And in verse 9 of Hebrews 13, it says, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. And for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." When somebody occupies himself with five senses things and says that this is God's will and this is how it has to be done and this is part of worshiping God, and they set up a doctrine, well, God calls them divers, different and strange doctrines. And God says, don't be carried about with that kind of stuff. Be carried about with godly things in your manner of life. James chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. I wanted, after just establishing here that God does the judging, that whenever it deals with judgment in God's Word, that it's God that does that, and our life is before our Heavenly Father, not before man, not before each other, but before God, that God does the judging. The second bullet point that I shared was judgment without partiality. Judgment, or one of the next bullet points I shared was judgment without partiality. And I want to spend a little bit of time in this, because this judgment is something that we are part of. We're recipients of God's judgment, having made us worthy. There are times when it's our responsibility in the body of Christ to do judging, but it's very specific for very specific things that happens. And when it comes up, it needs to be done, and it's all done according to what God's Word says. Sure. And if it's something that is not defined black and white in God's Word, but it's something that is a gray area, is this Christ-like or is this not, then God will reveal what to do in that situation, where you have the morals and the conscience and the cultures and everything merges together. And how does God's Word apply to this? And specifically, God's grace, His mercy, His compassion, and the liberty that we live in. What's the right answer? Well, God's Word always has the right answer. And that's where the Word says that judgments will need to be made in believers' lives when things come up. And things do come up because we live in this world. Sure. And so, thinking about judgment without partiality, I wanted to start in James chapter 2 and read verses 1 to 4. "My brethren," verse 1, "have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come in unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there also come in a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial," and that's the word, "are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts?" Yeah, because God doesn't think like that. He doesn't think like that toward us, toward His people. And there's going to be people that come into the family, people part of the Christian family, through from all walks of life, all different cultures, all over the world, and to judge somebody based on what the five senses is showing, God says you become judges of evil thoughts. So that starts to set the flavor of what partial is, partiality. And it's a discerning, it's a looking at things, but it's a looking at things through the five senses. Yeah, and not through what God's Word says. Matthew chapter 21, verse 21. Matthew 21, verse 21. "Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not," and this word doubt is the same Greek word as partial. Interesting, isn't it? "If you have faith and doubt not," don't make any five senses discernments. It's faith that you can do this versus what it looks like that could be done from what your eyes are seeing. That's what doubting is. You shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Sure. And we're looking at partiality. We're looking at judgment without partiality, judging without partiality. And the figurative or metonymy from this, as we're learning about these things from God's word, pay attention to your own self, your own heart, your own thought, how that you look at things. And same with me, how I look at things. Is somebody better or worse or smarter or more handsome or more beautiful or stronger because of the way they look, actions they take, what they do, that type of thing? That is the breeding ground for partiality and of judging others, either better or worse, or judging oneself better or worse. And God says you just shouldn't do any of that, none of that. Zip, zero, zilch, nada. Man, that's a high bar to rise up to, isn't it? That's why we're studying this stuff. And I'm doing my best to explain and to share and to teach and to bring the word up, and I absolutely trust God to give the increase to help all of us with this subject. So we have a place, we have a shelf to put all of this information on that's already there. It's already there in our renewed Christian mindset from studying the word and all the years that we have been learning God's word. Yeah. Acts chapter 15 and verse 9. Another usage of this same word. Verse 9, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Put difference is the same Greek word. And put no difference means that to judge is different. God does not judge any of his people differently. The Jews and the Gentiles, that's what they were talking about here. The heart is purified by faith, and it's not the way the five senses look or what the lifestyle has been all their whole life. Sure, there's no difference. Romans chapter 4 and verse 20, speaking of Abraham, he staggered not, and staggered is the same word. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Staggered, it means to doubt the promise of God. Unbelief, that means you're believing something other than God's word. That means that's what Abraham would have been doing. He would have been looking at the five senses, his body, Sarah's body, and how old they were, and the impossibility. They had been years since they had that type of pleasure together. But he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So this staggered, it means to discern, to doubt, to judge is different. It means to compare and to believe something different than God's word. And so we're developing what this discerning and this partiality is. And when it comes to us believing in our own worthiness through what Jesus Christ accomplished, our goal is to never let anything cause unbelief of that truth. Never let anything come in, because it will cause us to stagger in our walk. Will cause us to stagger. That's what unbelief does. Unbelief always defeats the promises of God. It's sand in the machinery of life. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. I love this, just romping through God's word and learning different things about it and the great things about these things, because the whole goal is that we walk Christ-like and that we can stand together as a family against all the wiles, the trickery, the methodology of the devil. And he is king at taking people down and getting them to believe they are not worthy. We all know what it's like to have to deal with that. And he just does it indirectly all the time in the ways of the world, how they are. There's nothing out there that's godly that's going to be encouraging to take a stand on God's word. Usually it's exactly the opposite. We go to God's word and we go to each other for that. And one of the things that we never want to see in the family is that we've got partiality toward one believer over another. It just doesn't work. God doesn't have it, and we shouldn't either. And I'm thankful that we don't, but it's still a subject in God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 4, "And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ?" And this is the word, maketh differ. "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it?" Sure. Again, this whole making to differ, it means to discern, to doubt, to judge as different, to compare and believe something different than God's word. All these flavors, as we study the same word in different contexts, is showing this. To believe and act in this glorious power like you didn't receive into your life that from God, that it came from you. You know, you're your own source of how good you are or how good someone else is. And the comparisons just are endless on how this thing can go. But to receive means to receive into manifestation. What have we received into our lives that God hasn't done? We didn't make us do anything. We were just born into this world. And we have long suits that get developed. We have the ways that the soul and the body work together, but it all started with God, and He's the one that gets the glory and the credit. So when someone starts to glory and not give God the glory for what He's done, it shows up by being puffed up for one against another, by thinking one is better than another. But in the Christian family, we're all sons and daughters of God. We all were dead in trespasses and sins without God and without hope. And we've all been judged worthy in Christ Jesus because of His accomplishments, not because of anything we did, not because of what we brought to the family of God with our body and soul and our abilities that we've learned and our mental capacity to retain and whatever else you want to think of. No, it's not like that. These are all flavors of what being partial means. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'd like to read verses 1 to 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters?" Are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Huh. "Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church." And who are least esteemed? Those with the gift ministries. Because, you know, those with gift ministries look just like regular body and soul people, don't they? And the way they come from, where they come from, their cultures in life, where they choose to live, it all has an effect if you're being partial towards somebody that doesn't come from that arena. Yeah, and so the least esteemed comes from that kind of flavor. And yet God looks on the heart. And when He's placed the gift ministries in a person, it's because of their desire to help and to love and to care for God's people. Then it says here, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. And this is not judging a Christian's worthiness at all. This is judging in matters pertaining to this life. Judgments of things pertaining to this life, not to our eternal life, but to this life. Verse 5, "I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren?" Yeah, the smallest matters. We just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, when we started this, that Paul said it was a very small thing that I be judged of you, judged of man's day, man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. This very small thing. And this is the very small thing, the same word here, the smallest matters. Are ye unworthy to judge the smallest things? And the smallest things tie right in with believers judging each other, walking by their five senses, with man in the man's world out there judging. and bringing some type of a sentence or a problem into a Christian's life, or the individual Christian, him or herself, judging him or herself contrary to what God's word says about them. And God is the judge. He's the righteous judge. And what he says is the way it is. What he says is the way it will be. And if he says, I have judged you worthy in Christ Jesus, and I have justified you because of what he did, then that's the way that it is. And if we go through a whole life of not believing that, and then at the Bema, guess what? God's going to still say the same thing. I've judged you worthy. You are justified. You are righteous. You are redeemed. It's what I say. It's not what man says in man's day of judging. It's not what other five senses people and Christians that are walking by their five senses say, respecter of person stuff. And it's not what you even think about yourself whenever it's contrary to my word. It's what I say. It's what my word says. And all of our life, we have the privilege to rise up and believe that word and live according to it. And won't life go better as we believe God's word? Well, of course it will. And that's the point of, are you not unworthy to judge the smallest matters? You're going to judge angels. We're going to judge the world. And if you got judgments of things pertaining to this life, if things come up in life that they're rough, they're tough, and you need answers for, well, get the ones that are least esteemed in the church, those that are operating gift ministries, those that are leading, the bishops, the Episcopals, those that are standing on God's word, that work that word daily, that search it, that are workmen of God's word, that are caring for God's people, go knock on a door and get some help. Yeah. I speak to your shame. Is there not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. That's where there's judgments that come up in this life. And I wanted to be very clear that it has nothing to do with eternal life, because we've been judged worthy of that. It has all to do with things that come up on things of this life. Jude, I'd like to read verse 9. Let's go to the book of Jude. We're still looking at this whole subject of judgment and partiality and stuff. Verse 9, yet Michael, the archangel, when contending, and there's that word, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Michael, he's the top head angel. Well, there was a whole third of them that went after, they followed Lucifer, now the devil, and all their angels. What do you think the devil was trying to do here? Just talk about the body of Moses? No, he was trying to get Michael to do what the other one-third did. Can you imagine if Michael and his third went? That'd be a two-thirds majority. That'd be really rough on God, wouldn't it? Well, Michael didn't. Well, what was really happening here? Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. So they were having an argument. They were disputing about the body of Moses. Whatever the subject was about the body of Moses, we have no idea. But they were sure talking about it, and they were disputing. They were arguing, and Michael got to the point that he said, I am not going to bring against you a railing accusation. I'm not going to judge you, but said, the Lord rebuke you. God does the judging. And he gave it right back to his heavenly Father. That's right. He gave it right back to God. And that's what the devil was trying to do. That's what he does all the time. He's a master at it. He tries to get people to waver. He tries to get people to go to a strange doctrine of putting one person over another, being puffed up by making that person look good and them look bad, or them look good and somebody else look bad, and just make judgments. And the devil is trying to get Michael to do this. I dare say that a whole bunch of those angels fell into this, the one third. But Michael, he said no. He says, the Lord rebuke you. This contending is what the devil was trying to do. He was trying to get Michael to switch his faith from what God's word says, that I am the judge, that I have judged the way this situation is. He was trying to get Michael to switch his faith from God doing the rebuking and judging to Michael doing it himself. That's a slippery slope. There's no good that can come from that. with Michael, and there's no good that can come from that with anybody. That's why this judging others, that's why railing, not even arguing with them is not worth it. Just a God rebuke. That's, you know, Jerry's taught us to go to God, and to, when we get situations that are just so hard for us that we just don't even know what's going on, we just ask God to rebuke the situation. We do. Sure. Well, man's self-judgment, it causes a lot of problems. And if Michael would have done this, can you imagine how hard? Yeah. Yeah. And that's a little bit about this self-judgment. That's a little bit about this partiality. And that any judgment that we have needs to have no partiality. It needs to have no unbelief, no wavering, no five senses stuff going into it. And we believe, as recipients of God's word, we believe that we have been judged worthy, and we just close the book right there. We don't have to go and try to justify it and start looking at it by our five senses. We believe it because God's word says it's true. And I want to show you another bullet point, as because we've just established this without partiality, I want to show you one more in this teaching about how man's self-judgment, being partial to things outside of the doctrine of God's word, to strange doctrines, how man's self-judgment, what it brings. And I'll just tell you right now, it brings condemnation, it brings sickness and death, and it invalidates God having judged us worthy in Christ Jesus. And I just wanted to show you a couple verses that lay that out in the epistles. In a couple more places. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'd like to read verse 29 to 32. And this is talking about the Lord's Supper, communion, the communion that was modeled, that's modeled after the Lord's Supper, I should say. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Well, there's that same word, not discerning the Lord's body. What did it really represent? What does it represent? And when some other belief system is adhered to, like, I'm not worthy, I don't know if I can get healed, how could this be possible? When that starts to get adhered to, instead of, by his stripes I was healed, and when it begins to change, then it says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." And the whole thing is that people were judging themselves unworthy. Because it says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Why is there a need for us to be judged by God if we are judging ourselves? If we're living a lifestyle that's based on our own five senses and what we think is right, or what man's day, what he thinks is right, and this kind of stuff gets shoveled in bucketfuls through of improper teaching and understanding of God's word in many of the sources of where people go to learn God's word, that they're not worthy. And this is the reason why many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep, that people are judging themselves, or they've been judged unworthy and they believe it. But why is there a need to have God's judgment if we would judge ourselves? There is no need. But verse 32, "When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." That's right. There's nothing but condemnation with self-judgment. There's nothing but weakness and sickness and premature death of that happens from self-judging, because it's spiritual in nature. And it, you know, you've heard it said that people can curse themselves, and with the tongue man can do that, bless God and curse man, and these things ought not so to be. That deals with judging, and that deals with leveling things on people. And when it comes to an individual doing that to him or herself, they're setting themselves up for a fall, and that's not good. And in the Christian family, one thing we never want to do is to judge our own selves, because why would we need to be judged? by God. And we've been judged worthy in Christ Jesus. That judgment from God has already happened. It's not going to happen again. We're going to receive the rewards and the crowns and inheritance. Yeah, and anything that was non-Christ-like in the Christian's life, it's going to be burned up with fire. That's what the word says. And the rest of it, then it's going to be rewards. And our life and our choice is to always walk according to God's word. And part of that is not to judge our own self. Sure, that's what Paul said, and that's one of the first things I shared. I judge not mine own self. We'll tie that in with that if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You could say that Paul said, I believe that I'm worthy before God, and I'm not going to judge my own self because I believe his judgment, and his judgment is true, and it happened through Christ Jesus. I love that. In fact, Paul even went further. He pre-cleaned up everything. He goes, I count everything but dung that I may win Christ, and that all the stuff that was his natural claim to fame and his accolades and all the stuff, the five senses stuff, he says, I just count them but dung. He just pre-cleaned it all up, you know. It's not going to get, there's nothing that's going to need to get burned up at the Bema in Paul's life because he's already did it. He says, I count it that way now. And that's the whole lifestyle of a Christ-filled believer. They get so absorbed in God's word that it becomes your all in all and what you think about. And you just don't let anything else come in and take precedence where it can shift and make you waver. Yeah. And then here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we just read in chapter 11, but 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'd like to read verses 29 to 32. And it starts out in verse 29, let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. Well, there's this judging here, and this same Greek word keeps coming up that we've been studying, and I haven't said what the word is, but it's diakrino, D-I-A-K-R-I-N-O, and it's been used in all of these places that we've looked at. Let the other judge, and that means to compare between two. That means to look at it from the point of view of what the other is saying versus what does God's word say. And it's not comparing, it could be comparing it to what you know in your own mind, as long as what you know in your own mind is rightly divided word of God. But it's compared to the written word of God, the rightly divided written word of God. And so we've got that word in our mind, then it would be comparing to that also, because it's the same thing. And let the other judge. And it's to discern between the revealed word of God and the application of it. Sure, let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. Something's being revealed. If something's being revealed when somebody is speaking, then let the first one that spoke hold his peace. They said what they were going to say as God worked in their heart through the Spirit working in them. And then something gets revealed to another that sitteth by, because let the prophet speak two or three. Let the first hold his peace, and then let that be revealed what the second person was revealed. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Yeah, the result of this judging, the result of this seeing what the person and hearing what the person is speaking, and as God gives the increase, the judging is between what they said and what God's word says. And it always has to line up. It will never be at cross purposes with God's word. And that all may learn and all may be comforted. And that is the comfort and the calling alongside of God and the encouraging to learn more of God's word and to stand together in the body of Christ. That's what this is about. That's what it's speaking of. It's always a beautiful, it's never this fire and brimstone and baseball bats and whacking you over the head because you did something wrong, bunch of junk. It's the total opposite. James chapter 1, I'd like to read verses 6 through 8. And verse 6 through 8, and this is the same word here. It's called wavering. in verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. These two words for wavering here are two different usages of that diakrino. And it's, you know, changing one's believing faith and attaching it to the waves of life, the worldly winds of doctrine, it stops the let not that man think that he shall lambano, receive into manifestation anything of the Lord. It just stops that dead. That's what the wavering does. And the wavering is one of the old devil's biggest tricks out there to seduce people into taking their faith that they had attached to the Lord Jesus Christ and his accomplishments in the seven church epistles and attaching it to anything else. And God calls them like waves of the sea driven with the wind of tossed and tossed. It's like it's a double-minded man. This stuff happens in the mind. Our worthiness happens in the mind. It's been done spiritually for us, but the battle's in the mind. We all deal with this. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness where they lie in wait to deceive. See, this wavering that we just read here in James, and this Ephesians tossed to and fro, it's carried about. It's the winds of doctrine. It's words that are spoken. It's doctrines that are taught. They're strange doctrines. They have nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, except maybe saying his name every once in a while. But that doesn't make it right, and it doesn't make it rightly divided. You have to work the word to know that. And so the winds of doctrine, it causes people to waver, causes Christians to waver back and forth from their own worth to not worth, from great sense of self-worth before God to feeling worthless, just up and down, to and fro. It's the trying to shift the believer's faith from God's word to the winds of doctrines flailing about. That's the best way that I could explain it. And it makes a double-minded man. Well, how do you stop a double-mindedness? Well, you stop thinking the one way. You keep thinking God's word, and you say, thus saith the Lord, this is the way it's going to be. It stops the instability in life. Then what do you do when somebody says, you change? You're not like you used to be. I'm uncomfortable around you because, you know, you just don't do what you said you used to do before, and they feel uncomfortable because they see that you have a firm footing in life and that you stand and that you don't budge and you know who you are. Well, it's because you're not double-minded anymore. Yeah, and that's the way God wants us to be. Then you share God's word with them and help them. Jude, I want to go back. We were in Jude verse 9, but I want to read verse 20 to 24. In Jude, verse 20 of Jude, but ye, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in Holy Spirit. That means to speak in tongues. Very critical for establishing your own self-worth, that this just cleans you up on the inside, the manifestations in operation. Keep yourselves in the agape theos, in the God's agape. The way he lives, you live that way. Keep yourselves in it. You have to do it yourself. Nobody can do it for you. Keep yourself in there, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And one of the key factors of self-worth and worthy before God is that it's because of God's mercy. And our Lord Jesus Christ was merciful too, because he gave his life for us. Well, we give our lives in service. Well, what do we look forward to for when we're looking forward to the return? We're looking for God's mercy. What is mercy? It's withholding of merit to judgment, not getting what we deserved. That's just the way it is. And God already said that I withhold it. Cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. You're already not getting what you deserve because of what Adam caused. Jesus Christ fixed that. What we're getting is bucketfuls and eternity fulls of crowns, rewards, and inheritance, dignity, respect, honor. We've been granted the eternal life. There's no bad judgment of God happening for us. We've been judged worthy. He's not changing it. I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ doesn't change either. So we look for mercy, we're going to get mercy. We're looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And that mercy is going to last for all of our eternal life. Always going to be that way. And then verse 22, and of some having compassion, making a difference. This is that same Greek word, making a difference. Compassion makes a difference. You see, this word means to discern. It means to judge as different. Compassion is what we judge to do. We're not going to do the other, and then the other would be emboldened in anger and puffed up and all the things agape lifestyle says don't do. So compassion is how we make a difference. It means to compare and to believe something, God's word versus all other things. And God says to have compassion, making a difference while we're waiting for the return. It means to believe and act and give God the glory and the power. And this make to difference is what we do in making a difference in people's lives. It is to show compassion. And then verse 23, and others save with fear. You got to get in their face and you got to go pull them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Sure, you know, we're talking about helping Christians, what Christians go through. So some, you can be compassionate and show that compassion and relate to them and help them and encourage them and give them the word, and they kind of pull up and out of whatever it was. And others, man, they're just hell-bent on whatever, and you got to get in there and you got to pull them out of the fire. You got to singe your own hair sometimes. Well, that takes the gift ministries in operation to do that. You hate even the garments spotted by the flesh. Sure. And we're being clothed in righteousness. We don't want our righteousness spotted walking by the flesh. Verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Can you see the presence of his glory? Can you see exceeding joy and the faultless and to help you to stand? And that's what we do with each other in our lives in the body of Christ here. The compassion. And if somebody has really kind of walked out there and gotten out of bounds in their life and they don't know, they can't extricate themselves, they're trapped, they're snared, pull them out, help them. And then you don't hold it against them. You love them, you care for them, you teach them. What they go through is enough to deal with whatever they got to deal with. Sure. And God keeps us from falling. He keeps everybody in the family from falling. And he is able. Oh, I just think this is so great. And it has nothing to do with meanness, aggressiveness. It has nothing to do with you're unworthy and holding it against a person their whole lifetime. And finally, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, again, Paul said, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. And this very small thing, it means to be least in dignity. It's a small weight. It's not dignified at all for us to be judged of others or man's judgment or believers to look down their nose at us or for us to do that to them. And Paul says, not only that, I judge not my own self. It's just not dignified to do that. It's a very small thing. I'm just not going to let it get big and blown up and out of proportion, get all swelled up about it, and then exact vengeance on somebody for how they talk to me. No, just, he just wasn't going to do that. Being judged by one another, being under man's day of judging others, and judging not my own self, they're all very small things in the big picture of God's word. And then finally in Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least, the same word is very small thing. He that is faithful in that which is least, He that which is faithful in judging not mine own self, he that is faithful in that which is keeping a small weight attached to being judged by others and not letting it get out of proportion, even man's day, just to not let it, well, you know that phrase, let it roll off your back like water off a duck's back kind of thing. He that is faithful in doing that, that which is least, the small things, being judged of others, which actually they're very big things, some of the hardest things we ever have to deal with, aren't they? Yeah. But deeming them least and saying that this is the Word's way of looking at it, and I'm going to look at it the Word's way, is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. You know, we read earlier that we're justified. And justified means just as if we never sinned. And unjust is a result of not being faithful in that which is least. That which is least is one of the things that we need to have one of the most highly esteemed. And those that are least in the church, those that operate gift ministries and those that are out leading and caring for God's people, they believe that they are justified. They believe that God is the judge and he's judged them worthy. They believe that they're going to be rewarded at the Bema. And they go out and they help God's people live that way and walk that way. They are faithful in that which is least. And I just think it's just fascinating how the word least is tied into these verses like this. He's faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. We got to take our justification with us. Believe that we're justified. And part of believing that we're justified is that we judge not our own self. When we judge our own self, it strips away line by line our justification and our sonship rights. Not from what God said, but from our believing of it. Because it makes one attach their faith and their believing to that which is a lie. Yeah, and so we just be faithful in God's Word, faithful in that which is least, faithful in those things that God's Word says and what His Word says. We are what the Word of God says. We are who we will be. We can do. And that's the way God's Word is. So faithfully believe in the smallness of when others judge you. And among many other things, be faithful in not judging yourself. And that starts to set the overview from about judged worthy. And that ends this teaching number one. God bless. Love you guys.